May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, how many of you have seen the movie Jungle? It's 2017-ish. Anybody seen it? Guess it wasn't like top of the charts, as they say. But it was based on a best-selling book by Yossi Ginsberg, who had just graduated from the Israeli military, and apparently there's a tradition in Israel to go into the Bolivian jungle once you've graduated, done your compulsory service, and go and explore in the Bolivian jungle. This is his story of surviving the Bolivian jungle and an adventure gone wrong. And in that place, he suffers horrible infections and infestations and is rescued at the point of death. And I didn't give you the spoiler alert, so I'm sorry about that. But, you know, even if now it's a bit wrecked, it's probably still worth watching because, if only for the fact that Daniel Radcliffe of Harry Potter fame actually acts in this movie and doesn't just make appearances. So his training is starting to pay off in his young adulthood. When Ginsberg is rescued, he, in the real life story, has no physical energy to shout for joy. But I'm sure he was on the inside. And I'm sure his family in Israel was as well. What would make you shout for joy or fall on your face in front of someone who has helped you? You might feel this way if someone you love with all your heart has just made it through an operation that the doctors said was 50-50. You might do it if, against all of your hopes, your debts are taken care of and you're given a new start. You might do it if, hey, fill in the blank. What is that for you? What would make you shout for joy? Which brings us, of course, to our gospel text. Which is more surprising, that one person came back and at the top of his voice gave God glory, fell down on his face in front of Jesus, or that nine didn't? Luke is here again, as he does throughout his gospel, interesting perspective he has, focused on the outsider, the foreigner, the Samaritan. Now, we're not sure why only the Samaritan comes back to say thank you with all of that exuberance. It certainly doesn't feel like a morality tale or a parable, so we have to take it at face value as an actual historical occurrence in the ministry of Jesus. This is how it happened, and we're just not sure why it plays out this way. I'm going to speculate. Perhaps the Jews who were healed and had gone to their official to get their official clearance from the local priest, and that's how it would have worked. They would have gone to the synagogue closest to them in order to re-engage with society. You know, think of it this way. So how many of you have had to experience a COVID isolation or quarantine? Yeah, I think some of us have. And for a lot of us, that used to be 14 days, at least the first year and a half of COVID. But think of these lepers. They had a life quarantine, a whole life away from society and family. And perhaps after getting their official clearance, this was so startling and stark that they were just simply afraid of being ostracized again, not being able to actually live out this new possibility to re-engage, because Jesus was such a polarizing figure They felt that maybe if they associated with him, were seen to be praising him, they would be again freshly ostracized. Maybe. We're not sure. Perhaps they were just so eager to get back with their loved ones that they simply didn't go back and thank Jesus. Have you ever had the experience of realizing that you really owe someone a debt of gratitude, but life gets in the way, and you never really get around to going and thanking that person the way you know you should or would like to? I think it's about a year and a half ago now, I re-engaged with my favorite professor in university who taught in the humanities department of my alma mater. And it was almost 30 years after the fact. And he was now Professor Emeritus. And I was one of those students who lived off campus. I had a young family. And when I walked up and got my diploma, that was it. I never went back to my place of study. And so I really never had an opportunity to thank him for his shaping influence in me. And just to date myself, when I graduated from university, there was no email. Okay? So, I have an excuse. But anyway, I reconnected with him, and I thanked him for his shaping influence on me. It was great to hear what he's been up to and just shoot the breeze together. Now, these speculations on my part are my way of saying that everything in the Bible is written pastorally, not just for the sake of information. In other words, it's not only the 9 lepers who are shown up by this story. Luke, I'm convinced, is helping us to notice that gratitude can easily escape many of us. Right? We know intellectually that it would be good and right and proper to thank God always and for everything, as Paul says to the Ephesians. We know that the original focus of our faith is on a benevolent Creator who gives us all things, the mouthful of food and the mouth to chew it. You know, the air around us and the lungs to breathe it. Also, that song that takes your breath away, and that smile that lights up your life. I don't really like to quote Debbie Boone, but every once in a while you have to. And really, an incredible number of experiences that have shimmered in and through all of us. That the world is like this, even with all its troubles, its stresses, its anxieties, is amazing. We remind ourselves that it doesn't have to be this way, and indeed for billions of people today, they don't experience what we are fortunate enough to enjoy in this country. But even when we don't have enough, even when we're suffering, even when we ourselves conspire against the goodness around us and make life difficult for ourselves, make it drab or dull or gray, even there, the goodness of God kind of seeps up through the cracks of our lives and surprises us. That's what our second reading is partly about, where even in chains, the author of 2 Timothy can talk of God's faithfulness, and even more astoundingly, of us reigning with God. But do we see it? Unless we notice it, see it, how can we be grateful? Our minds do not easily grasp the beauty of the familiar. We were talking about this in our book study session this week. They don't grasp the sublime that is hidden in our routines. And that is why, if someone ever asks you why art is important, you'll be able to say, that's why. Art that paints the familiar, that still life, that family scene that looks so prosaic, but that stops us in our tracks and helps us see, maybe for the first time, the beauty in the everyday. Turns out we didn't evolve to contemplate. Our evolution has adapted us to be acutely aware of danger or of want. Gratitude doesn't factor high on the survival checklist. But to live well, to live fulfilled, we must learn gratitude. And in our time, psychology has become our ally, highlighting this importance, this very thing. Gratitude reduces stress. Gratitude works almost like a magic elixir in our relationships, and indeed smooths over conflicts. It changes our perspective on people. All of that is true. But Luke takes it a step further. He wants to draw gratitude in as the foundation of worship. He develops the thought that if we see, we find insight. The outer sight informing the inner. When the Samaritan saw that he was healed, he turned back. There's that beautiful word, that beautiful concept in Christianity of changing our mind, of changing our direction, of repentance, of metanoia. He turned back, praising God in a loud voice. So do you see? Do you want to have insight? I'm sure we all do. Do you want to become more aware of the sheer amazingness of your existence? That you and I come from the tiniest of seeds passed on from an infinite, almost an infinite lineage that reaches back to the explosion of the supernovae, stardust that has grown wise in laughter and tears and joy and sorrow. Do you see? Without being simplistic, it really is simple. The old American folk hymn urges us to count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. If you will, you will see. Paul does this in chains as he recognizes the faithfulness of God. Jeremiah asks the exiles to live out thankfulness and bless the city that they found themselves in, even the one that brought them there in chains. Perhaps this is why the Samaritan can see. He's less familiar with God's goodness. Perhaps this is why visitors to our Anglican tradition can see what we have when those of us who have been in this for a long time have grown simply familiar with it and can't see as easily if we haven't kept cultivating an openness. Expressing thanks openly for each other and to God opens our hearts again. And so I am thankful this Thanksgiving that God gives us everything, always, and that Christ opens us to that reality in fresh ways at the great Thanksgiving. Amen.